Good morning, friends. You hear me okay? Yeah, okay, great. I have all the little thumbs up in the windows. Last night, I was having dinner with my dad, who is visiting. He's 80. He's an amazing human being and person. He had just gone out on a maybe, I don't know, 8 mile run in 95 degrees here in Phoenix. Returned, we were having dinner, we were talking, and he kind of bent forward, sort of like this kind of thinker position. And I said something and paused, and he didn't respond right away. And he was just sort of like in this position. And I had this moment of like being on a roller coaster ride or Guardians of the Galaxy at Disneyland, where the floor drops out and your whole stomach just goes whoop like that. This overwhelming, fluttering sensation that something was deeply wrong in that moment. And it was just this collapse of time. Everything froze. I was completely overwhelmed. And then he lifted his head up and continued to talk. And I thought, wow, what an ordinary moment turned hugely extraordinary, stirred up back to ordinary in a matter of a moment. About an hour later, we went outside to take in the evening. It was dark. And we have these cacti here. They're all like balls that are connected into this sort of vast network. And they've had these little fuzzy extensions on them for the last maybe a week. Over the last 2 days have extended out to about maybe 10 inches. And in the dark, as we stepped out, they opened up and the sea of white flowers. And I walked to the other side of the house and there was one little ball like that and it had two extended. I thought, how does it know on the other side of the house? How are they on the same timing? And these flowers will last today. And then that's their entire life cycle, that one day of the year. And yet they all knew today, this was the night to open up. And again, I thought, wow, I could have missed that so easily, yet so profound to me. Last night I was sleeping. I must have woken up 14 times in anticipation of this morning. And three of those times, at least, my brain said, don't forget to say something about a wave particle. That wave particle, isn't that cute? My mind wanting to show that I know something, right? I was thinking, wave particle, why, you know, why wave particle? And then the other side of my brain's like, just go back to sleep. Just go back to sleep. Like, oh no, wave particle, because it's so profound, that paradox. It's like everything at the same time, yet in that snapshot, it appears as an ordinary little particle. No big deal, yet it holds this whole experience. And then just laying down to meditate with you all, which was kind of a fool's errand, again, in anticipation of speaking. And I'm laying down because I'm working through some back issues. And I open my eyes and there's a fan above me. And I tried to catch the blades, or my mind tried to catch the blades, which inevitably threw me back to the ceiling. And then as I thought, oh, let me be with the ceiling, it caught me with the blades. And again, this like integration of all of this is just some sort of magic. And it threaded me back to the movie American Beauty, which I haven't thought about in, you know, 20 years. It's a teenager. I don't know if you've seen that, or there's a scene in there where they're watching, I believe, a paper or a plastic bag maybe float in the wind and the breeze and the tendrils, and it's floating, and they're so moved, they're crying at the beauty of it. And as a teenager, I was so intrigued by how I didn't understand this at all. Made no sense, yet there was like this deep curiosity there. And in this moment today, I was like, the fan, I've spent my entire life avoiding ordinary, deep fear of ordinary. And I say my entire life because I think this was actually given to me in many ways, as part of the story I was born into. My parents came from different continents. They immigrated to the US. Somehow they met each other. Mom was told she couldn't have children. And yet at 41, surprise, I showed up. So I was told that I was this miracle child. And as a first generation American plus miracle baby, it's like better live up to being extraordinary, being special, having impact, being significant in some way. And I really took that to heart. And it got me so far away from ordinary anything. I mean, I graduated college and I didn't know how to do my laundry. I mean, like literally nothing in the mundane was in my capacity. And I pushed myself in my career and in grokking all this knowledge and wanting to know. And that was fun and also so much pressure. And then when I was 30, I was really in a deep state of confusion, I would say existential, you know, angst about life. What am I doing with my life? And I have all these accolades. I have all these things, these from the outside extraordinary things that I'm doing and accomplishing and love, but wasn't enough somehow. And this anxiety that I had been lurking all these years, it's like grew. And I was living in Boulder. And so as, you know, white confused people in Boulder do, I went to India to try to figure out something. And I remember sitting in these temples where people had practiced for hundreds, maybe thousands of years, asking, you know, open to a shift, something changing, something being shaken up. And should have been more specific, because on the plane ride home, I started not feeling so well, which led into the most terrifying period of my life for that year, in this diagnosis process of what was going on with my physical body. Ended up diagnosed with a rare liver disorder, which is, I feel I have a partnership with now in this lifetime. And it literally took everything that I thought of was extraordinary and different and unique and special and squashed it into me laying in a bed, staring at the ceiling. And that's the point, although I had dabbled prior in meditation, but what really called me to meditation, because I was so backed into a corner, I literally didn't have any of my other coping mechanisms or anything else that I was used to doing, which was all physically based and, you know, in special, unique things. And so I got this opportunity to be with mind in a different way and body. I remember feeling my heartbeat like it was going to burst out of my chest and feel the sense of like withering in my physical form, feel the medication moving through and watch my mind acrobatics around the whole thing. And I deeply resented being ordinary in that moment, being human in this physical form. And I had such jealousy of other people that I was projecting onto were ordinary and fine and going about their lives. And something in that battle really continued to intrigue me over these years. And, you know, I defaulted onto my other patterns of trying to know, right? So I went to graduate school, which I love. I love all these pieces. I love my mind, our minds. I love knowing. And I also so continue to want to understand human and these daily precious moments. And so I've been on quite the journey with this over the years, and sort of flash forward to the last year where I really was confronted by someone on this idea of significance. I was placing so much significance on things, which led to pressure, great amounts of pressure on myself to know and to be right and choose right, decide right, and choose the most significant, special, right? So it's the same theme again. And this time though, over the last year, there's been a softening, and there's been too many variables to really pinpoint and say like, ah, it's that. But enter the Sangha and this practice. And I was introduced to my first koan, which feels tender to me, in our introduction to Zen class that I participated in, which is about that little stone. This is the stone drenched with rain that points the way. And I went on hikes here and I saw that there were so many stones. I got to see my mind say, but which one's the right one? Which one's mine? Which one's pointing my way? Which evolved into me seeing myself holding the stone, and that whichever direction I was facing, the stone was pointing, and that was the way, which led to yesterday when I was thinking about this, I saw myself holding the stone and like that image of someone standing at the North Pole where the compass is just spinning. I thought, ah, that's my stone. There's the way. It's like, it's all here. X marks the spot. No. And the retreat. There's no coincidence to me, this greatest gift that I'm joining virtually. Well, you know, we all are. In my life, in my home, in my life, on retreat. I've gone on so many retreats where, you know, I've gone away and had this like state change and then this trying to integrate that into, you know, a stage change coming back, which is beautiful. And this piece of life right now that I'm in that is so disintegrated with taking out the trash, you know, and there's been so much written about this, of course, but like I have this sense of like feeling it for the first time. And this week, our koan, of course, is about the ordinary mind being the way. And I've gotten to see all of this bubble up and what a gift this is and this path with koan is. And so I'm profoundly grateful for my mind. For all the acrobatics, for the human, for the ego, for all parts of that, and for being, for this preciousness of being, and for these moments like yesterday with my dad of feeling that void open up believe it just for a moment. And even with the fear associated with it, it's like, oh, whoa, I'm like, oh, and so ordinary. So in the deep confusion and overwhelm and paradoxes that resonate so deeply with me, I have so much gratitude for you all for getting to be part of this journey, for finding an aspect of what feels like home to me. And for being ordinary, which is so extraordinary because it's ordinary.